Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County. In each episode of this program, we have a conversation with someone in Chester or Delaware County who is making a difference in their Catholic faith. Today's program is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek & Brogan in Downingtown. To learn more, call 610-594-1600 or visit wasinekbrogan.com. I have returned to a wonderful organization in Westchester this morning called Generation Life. And you may know about Generation Life. They've been around for a long time. And as far as I know, they're based right here in Westchester. Of course, they're all over the country, but they're based right here in our own Delaware Valley. And we have three wonderful representatives of Generation Life. First of all, we have Madeline Vila, who is actually, you're going to learn about more, Lamar Edwards, and Emily Ortiz, who is the Director of Development here. And Emily was very kind to invite us. So first of all, I want to thank all of you for joining us and taking the time to talk to us on the radio show today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me start with Emily. You are a young woman. You're from Michigan.
Yes.
And you could be doing a lot of things right now, but you decided to do this. What got you interested in this whole endeavor?
I'm a graduate of Franciscan University of Steubenville, and it was really there that I had heard of John Paul II's theology of the body. When I first heard that message, I think it was just such a profound impact, but because it was such a affirmation of kind of like these natural feelings that I had had, especially in regards to sexuality and in regards to the dignity and the value of the person. And so that was really like a changing point, I think, and it just like opened my eyes to a lot of new things. And I had studied international business, and I loved traveling, and I just wanted to go all around the world and travel the world. And a huge motivator for that was because I wanted to know about people and culture, and I had this great love of really learning about other people. And the theology of the body really helped to affirm that and helped to support that desire. And so it was something that progressed from this desire to see the world and to experience people and to just grow in relationship with people to even the greater desire to defend life and to defend that those relationships and the respect of human life. And so that is really kind of what attracted me to Generation Life, because they take the pro-life issue and they go to the root of the cause by spreading the chastity message to end abortion and a lot of the fruits of the culture of death at the root of the cause.
Okay, I'm going to get to all that later. You're way ahead of me. That's great. It's great you're doing that. I can completely understand now how you got to be director of health. Great. So, Madeline, you are from Sydney, Australia.
I am.
And you have come to Westchester to be a missionary here.
Yes, I have.
This is interesting. In this country, we always see missionaries coming from far away to talk us about their mission in their home country. You've taken your mission here. So we're actually the center of the mission, so to speak, for you. So this is a very interesting twist. Did you go to school in Australia also? Or
I did.
Franciscan or where?
I'm not a Franciscan graduate. I'm still studying my degree, and I've put it on hold this year to come and serve this mission. So I'm back home. I'm studying education with a major in theology and minor in history at the University of Notre Dame in Sydney. And it was really there that I got into my faith and heard about love and responsibility and theology of the body. And my faith really grew. Even though I was raised Catholic, my faith really grew out of the blessing of being able to go on pilgrimages. And it was on a pilgrimage that I met Generation Life. So that's how I got.
You know, because of our ignorance of your country being, 13,000 miles away or whatever it is, I don't think that we understand that there are a lot of Catholics in Australia. You don't think Australia is a Catholic country. Am I right about that, or is it more so than I think?
Australia is not a Catholic country. Yeah. It's definitely Christian.
Right.
But since World Youth Day in Sydney in 2008, there have been some incredible fruits from that World Youth Day, and it is incredibly exciting to be young and Catholic in Sydney today.
That's great. And we're going to turn now to the only guy in our group here. I'm going to get you a little closer to the microphone here, Lamar. This is Lamar Edwards. And he is entitled a national speaker, so we're expecting great things from you, Lamar.
I hope so.
You're not just a local speaker, you're a national speaker. Wow, that's something. So you're originally from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Boy, so you're a Southern guy.
That's right.
And so what brought you here yourself? I mean,
to Generation Life?
Yeah.
Well, I actually spend time up here in Philadelphia several times a year seeking certification in Theology of the Body at the Theology of the Body Institute in Quarryville, Pennsylvania.
It's in Quarryville?
Well, the national office is located in Exton, but they have all of the courses in Quarryville.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So
I've been to Quarryville. You didn't think there's much going on there at all. I
mean, no.
There's like an intersection. That's it.
Yeah, you know? Seriously. It's like one light or something.
Right. It's like some of those towns of the outback, you know.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful place, and it's a perfect place for the nature of the courses that I take. But,
gotcha.
So it was at the Institute, the Theology of the Body Institute, where I met Generation Life. I met Dave Sau, our manager of communications. And he invited me to join the mission. I had spent a couple years doing youth ministry in New Orleans, and that was a great passion and love of mine. I just love working with high school students. And so he invited me to join a mission that provided a grand-scale audience, reaching thousands of teenagers every year. So it took me a year to muster up the courage to say yes to something unfamiliar to me. I've never been a missionary before, but that's how I got here.
Where did you go to school in New Orleans?
For high school, I went to Archbishop Rummel High School, which is a Catholic all-boys school in the LaSallian tradition. And then I went to college at Our Lady of Holy Cross.
I'm aware, of course, of the Jesuit high school, because a friend of mine went there.
And a rival of mine.
Yeah, and a rival of mine. So I thought I'd bring that up just to kind of tweak it a little bit. Okay, well, then let me just continue with you here. This whole business today is very anti-cultural. I mean, what all of you are doing is about as opposite as anything you can see on television. Mm. Is it a tough job?
It is a very tough job, Lloyd. I wouldn't say it's anti-cultural as much as it's countercultural. Our work is you know, we believe that the culture at its core is very good, and that everyone in this culture has the same desires, which is to love and to be loved. And we believe that this message can really change the culture. You know, we don't want to get rid of the culture. We don't want to throw it out. But we want to restore it. And that's what we believe these messages can do.
We're speaking with Lamar Edwards, who is the national speaker for Generation Life here in Westchester, along with Madeline Vila and Emily Ortiz. I am old enough to remember the civil rights period during the 1960s, which was a very turbulent time in this country and the rest of the world, for that matter. People who are your age then were very pro-civil rights, pro-feminism, and anti-establishment. In fact, they use that term a lot, anti-establishment. It's where all those silly things came from. Don't trust anyone over 30. Make love, not war. And we're in the middle of the Vietnam conflict then. I had been overseas in the service, and I came back home to go to college in the 1960s, and I walked right into that meat grinder. I remember that distinctly. And I guess the question I want to ask you is, did this whole business of saying abortion is okay, chastity is not okay, was it really born out of the early feminist movement at that period of time?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is, when we can look at the history of our American history right now, and the feminist movement, and then the liberation, and desiring for men and women to be on quote-unquote equal grounds, it is just this natural disintegration of truth. And what we wind up with now is things that are almost ridiculous, in the sense that women have the right and are encouraged to kill their offspring. When they say that they take sex without the consequences, like removing what the purpose of sex is for, which is creating babies, then that is it's so distorted that we can see the fruits of that those distortions now with you know, abortion, and with birth control that causes so much problems with in women's bodies, and so many different, not even just the physical, but the emotional and the psychological distortions that we see in our culture, and just that fruit of the culture of death that really can be linked back to some of these profound deviations from truth that happened in kind of recent history. And it's scary to see how far we can progress down the road of really, like I said, this disintegration in such a short amount of time. And so that's why we have committed ourselves wholeheartedly and to be radical witnesses of really what is true in this culture that is so blinded by what is false, and that really only took a generation or two to get to this place of total misunderstanding.
We are speaking today on the Spirit of Chester County over 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP to Emily Ortiz, who is the Director of Development for Generation Life here in Westchester. Joining her is Madeline Vila of the Philadelphia Missionary, that is actually from Australia, and Lamar Edwards, a national speaker here at the Generation Life. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I have another question I'm going to ask all three of you. I want to know what you do to make chastity cool in this whole area. And I know you're going to tell me that because you're very, very good at it when the Spirit of Chester County continues.
The law firm of Wisenick Brogan supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wisenick Brogan can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wisenick Brogan is proud to support over WCOJ. You can reach Wisenick Brogan and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wisenickbrogan.com.
We want to thank you for listening to the Spirit of Chester County right here on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. And just a reminder that today's program is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wisenick & Brogan in Downingtown. When we were talking just before the break, we were talking about some of the causal things, but now we have to deal with what we have right now. And I want to turn to you for a minute, if I may, Madeline, to ask you, in your experience, and I realize you're all young, your experience isn't vast, but in your experience that you have, living where you live, is it as much an issue on your side of the world as it is here? Or do they treat it differently? Or what's going on where you live?
It's definitely a huge, huge issue back home in Sydney. The abortion rate is terribly high. Young people don't recognize their dignity and their beauty, and it's very much similar culture to it as it is here in America. But we don't have anything like Generation Life, and part of the reason I'm here is because I feel so called to bring this mission back to my home country, and that's something that I deeply desire. So that's really part of my time of mission here in America, is learning how to run this organization so that I can set it up back home. And the seeds are definitely being planted, and it's just incredibly exciting to see what the Lord is going to do in Sydney.
How on earth did you learn from the east coast of Australia what was going on the east coast of the United States?
It was completely through the grace of God. My parents actually encouraged me to go on a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then we went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. in 2012. And it was actually really funny. I was supposed to be in a talk at one of the conferences, and I missed the talk because I spent too long at lunch. So I decided to walk around to the tables and just pick up free magazines and whatever the tables were offering.
That's what you do, right?
That's what you do at conferences. And then I just bumped into Generation Life.
Oh,
and within 5 minutes, I'd heard the message of chastity, which I'd never heard before, and I was convicted that I had to join this mission.
Well, I just wish you all the best, and I hope that the next time we do this radio show, we'll hear about the new founder of Generation Life in Sydney, and it's you, because you obviously have come a long way and made a great effort to do this, and
thank
that
you.
Is just terrific. Emily, the consequences of what we are seeing today are profound. We are losing millions of children. I heard a very interesting talk at a pro-life dinner about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago that was actually presented by a businessman. And he jumped up and says, "You know why all you business people can't find people to work in your place?" He says, "Because we killed them all."
Hmm.
And, you know, I had never, ever heard that as an economic consequence of this. Hmm. And that, of course, is the least of our problems. But it was something that he pointed out that, you see, all this stuff you're doing, it's not good for anybody. So tell me how it works. You begin here with Generation Life, obviously selling the whole chastity idea to young people so they will get married, have normal families, create children, not have abortions. And in the end, hopefully the outcome will be vastly better than what we're seeing today. Is that kind of the summation of it?
Yeah, I think we can look at the foundation and the fundamental part of culture and society is the family. And the nucleus of the family is this sexual relationship between the husband and wife. And that is supposed to be within the context of marriage, in that covenant commitment, and then children come forth as a fruit of the love of the
right.
marriage of the husband and wife. And so when you can have that strong, solid foundation and that tight nucleus of the family, that affects the neighborhood, and that affects the schools, and then the society, and the local community, and the local governments. And from there is just this ripple effect of that positive impact of the culture. And so really, truly, to bring that true understanding of sexuality and of the meaning of marriage is restoring the culture at the most fundamental level, yet has the greatest impact of change in the society and in the world. As you can see, Maddie's here from Australia. People have joined our mission from all over the world, and our missionaries are going out all over the world. We sent a team to Hong Kong and to Toronto, Ontario this year, just because this is such a universal message, and it's something that is really designed for every human heart to receive and to live out. And so that is exactly what we're trying to do, is to restore and recreate that culture of life.
Lamar Edwards, who is the national speaker here, I was talking just during the break about some of the statistics that are occurring because of this. How much damage is there?
You know, a lot of damage has been done, Lloyd, because of just the history of abortion in our country alone. Roughly one-third of my generation is missing because of the tragedy of abortion. And that's something that's really difficult when we talk to students, like in a classroom, and, you know, they're like, might be empty desks or something of that, like something like that. And it really makes concrete that statistic that's kind of like generally just right. up in the air. And we experience a lot of tragedy because of it. Roughly, you know, 3,300 abortions happen every day. You know, there's also tragedies that are linked to the problem of abortion and the misunderstanding of sexuality. Like 52% of marriages are ending in divorce in our country. And is the problem human life? Is the problem marriage? No. No, the problem is the misunderstanding of our sexuality, which is what Generation Life seeks to do, as Emily was just saying. If we can make that impact on the individual level, then what happens to the entire culture is restoration and renewal.
Well, one of the interesting statistics I heard years ago, which I thought was really fascinating, again, you just don't think of these things, like you said, the missing desk in the schools. But I heard an Irish politician in New York get up and said, you know why there were so many Irish politicians in the early part of the 20th century in New York City? He says, because we had more of us than anybody else. And then later he said, the one with the most children win.
Mm-hmm.
And he was almost talking militarily. And in other words, that people talk about, well, we've got all these Mexicans in Southern California. Well, like, no kidding. They're all having children. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you dopes. You know? So that's part of what you're saying, isn't it? Is it that's obviously a physical the result of this. But by the same token, these parents are having their children sometimes, and hopefully most of the time, the parental structure is staying in place. Children are being reared, raised, become adults. They have children. Populations grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of what you folks are trying to do is explain that sexual activity is not something you're supposed to watch on television for entertainment.
Mm.
It's something that has a far greater purpose. Let me ask you something else. You have told me that all three of you are Catholics, but is this a Catholic outfit, Emily? Mostly Generation Life?
Yes, that's a really great question. So Generation Life, in its origin, was not instituted as part of the Catholic Church. We are endorsed by bishops of the Catholic Church, like Archbishop Chaput and Cardinal Dolan, supported by religious orders such as the Sisters of Life and the CFR Friars. And most of our ministry is in Catholic schools, and our expansion efforts have been initiated through on the diocesan level. However, we are not Catholic in our identity because we have been able to get into public schools, into health classes as an abstinence program, but really the message that we're teaching is simply natural law. So it's very easily translatable from this Catholic language to one of just that fundamental natural law understanding. But all of us here at Generation Life are Catholic as well, and we take the commitment to daily Mass and daily Holy Hour because we're so aware that our mission wouldn't be possible without the blessing of the Lord, and it's really the Holy Spirit that has driven our mission. And you know, I love one thing that my boss, Christina Barba, who is our executive director, she always says, he's my boss, and with her finger pointed upwards, in indication of the fact that really the Lord is the king of our mission. So it just is that constant reminder.
You are terrific at getting at my next questions. I wrote right down here how important is prayer, but you already told me. This is great. Well, just kidding. But that is the core, because if we can't do that, then most of this is just an exercise in getting frustrated, because I know that the challenges you have every day speaking to other young people about this. Now, you're going to be a missionary. You are a missionary, Madeline. Are you speaking in schools yet?
I am.
So when you go to a school, Catholic school, public school, whatever, what's the reaction? They think you're nuts or what?
Well, you would think that, but telling people about the beautiful life-giving virtue of chastity and having them recognize the truth is a lot easier than you would think. And like one thing that I often think about is just how recognizable the truth is. And authenticity is attractive. And especially as women, we have these two desires in our heart, to be loved and to be seen as beautiful. And that resonates deep within every woman's heart. And chastity is this beautiful virtue that directs all of our sexual desires towards the dignity of the other. And if we look at the real definition of love in the scripture, it is to will the good of the other. That's what true love is, and that's what we all seek. So presenting that to the young women especially, but also to the men, it really drives home the fact that we were created for this and we want this. And I think too often we just, or our culture promotes something different, and then our youth believe that this true authentic love is not possible for them. And the beauty that we have as missionaries is being that witness, being that light to them through the grace of God and showing them that this true love that they desire is possible. And one thing that really is important when speaking to young women, it's about modesty. It's about telling them and showing them that modesty frees beauty. And
also, girls want to be modest, don't they, young girls?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to dress up like sluts and like on television and so forth. It would seem to me that they would prefer that. It makes life easier on them in every way.
Definitely. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about modesty as well is that it encourages and calls men on to live out their true masculinity, which is really by women living out their true femininity and men living out their true masculinity, we're really building each other up and building this culture of life that we desire, that, you know, no one wants to live in a culture of death.
And it would seem to me that eventually, if these young people obviously grow up and become adults and become parents, they communicate that to their children, these same ideas, these same beliefs, and you're on your way. The difficulty is, I think, a lot of children are being reared by a television set. And when that happens, then you, as a parent, have lost control. What do you think of that, Emily? I mean,
I think that's a very observant proclamation, I think, of our culture, because so many of the young people in our culture take their models and their idols and those whom they imitate from the media, from TV, from different songs or music videos or things that they hear. And it's so radically distorting who we're called to be. I mean, we're created in the image and likeness of God, who became man, who is this dynamic, wonderful personality. And, you know, we're all seeking for that, you know, that edge, or wanting to be popular, or wanting to be well accepted, or just trying to, I think, even be like the best version of ourselves. But, and then if we truly know Jesus, someone who hung out with his friends, went out to weddings, like loved the mountains and the sea, and took time by himself and was laughing and walked along the seashore, and you hear this dynamic, vibrant personality, and you're just attracted to that. And I think our mission as Generation Life and our desire for young people is to imitate that attractive, virtuous life. And and I think you had even mentioned before, like, what makes chastity cool? I think being yourself makes chastity cool, because you and truly who you are, not this reflection of the different images that you see on TV or the different music videos and stuff that is, it's not even authentically who anybody is. It's right. A complete lie. But to be like that radical, dynamic, vivacious, having colorful, textured personality of who you are, I think attracts other people into that. And we're just inviting young people into magnanimous virtue. And
I think one of the big advantages you have is that all young people want to rebel. And what better way to rebel than through this idea?
Exactly.
Because everyone else, quote, is doing the other thing already.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really an act of rebelliousness. Well, all of you have been wonderful. I'm astonished we're out of time. You've really done a wonderful job. Lamar, I want to thank you for joining us. You're a great guy. I just have one question before you, Ron. When you speak to the children, the young kids you talk to, I understand you talk to middle school sometimes. Do they kind of treat you sometimes kind of geeky? I mean, it's, you know, like this big, crew-cut hair geeky guy.
I'll tell you one thing. There are two different audiences found in middle school and in high school, but both are exciting. When I first joined Gen Life last year, I had to give my first talk to middle schoolers. It was to an eighth grade class, and I was not looking forward to it at all. I like working with high schools. Like, they're a little bit more mature. They can handle it. But when I got to that middle school, rather when I left that middle school, I was so excited and so looking forward to the next time I could speak to middle school students, because they are uniquely open to this message. Now, part of it is they come in, they see like a young, vibrant man or woman, and like we're excited, we're like having fun with them, we're joking around with them, and they just love us. Like, we're superstars to them for some strange reason. So there's like this unique kind of friendship that's created.
By the way, I just want to clarify that Lamarck does not look geeky. he's actually looks like a movie star. But go ahead.
Thanks, Lloyd. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. But like, there's just this connection that's made between us and a specific middle school audience, and their heart is also like, it has yet to be so tainted by the culture of death that we experience every day. They're still familiar with it, and they still experience some of the lies, but they're not as saturated as a high school student is. Mm-hmm. So their heart is still soft and moldable, and they're still open to listening to what we have to say.
Well, I got to leave on that note. I just can't tell you how proud I am of all three of you. God bless you all. I think you are doing incredible work, and I just wish you every success. And I imagine anybody listening to this would say the same thing. And I just want to thank Madeline. Thank you very much, Madeline Vila, who is visiting us from Sydney, Australia, who will soon be heading back home to her country and starting all this up herself, I'm sure. Lamar Edwards, who's a national speaker here at Gen Life, and, of course, Emily Ortiz, Director of Development. Thank you all for doing this.
Thank
I really
you very much.
Lord, thank you so
and,
much.
And I have enjoyed this very, very much. It's one of the best programs we've done, and I think you've really done a wonderful job. I want to thank you for listening to The Spirit of Chester County right here on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WIS. Today's program was made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek & Brogan in Downingtown. To learn more, give them a call at 610-594-1600 or visit wasinekbrogan.com. This is Lloyd Roche. See you next time on The Spirit of Chester County.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.